Last time we talked about in the book of John, last time we talked about in the middle of chapter 11, we talked about the conversation between Martha and Jesus and talking about the resurrection. And we talked about how she asked him, she kind of made this statement. We talked about how sometimes when we pray, Martha was kind of inserting and kind of speaking for the Lord and kind of dictating what he should do in an innocent way, but how we were talking about how she was saying that, I know even know whatsoever thou will ask of God, God will give it thee in verse 22. And the Lord says, thy brother shall rise again in the next verse. And this conversation, she kind of starts with this doctrinal statement saying that she knows that he shall rise again, talking about the resurrection in the last day. And we talked about Martha was right in that. But then Christ asks her this question. He says, he makes this statement. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. He asks the question, do you believe this? Believest thou this? And she answers the question, but she's not listening to the question. She says, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. But she doesn't really answer the question per se. She doesn't really answer, do you really believe that I am the resurrection and the life? And what we're getting at is the whole point here of Lazarus being raised from the dead goes beyond just Lazarus raising from the dead. And we talked about last time, the Lord is handling the situation. First, he delays in coming to the request of Mary and Martha for Lazarus. And because he delays 2 days, Lazarus does pass away. And we talked about how God's timing is always perfect. And God's timing we have to trust in. And sometimes those that love the Lord doesn't mean that they're immune to sickness, right? And we know that because we are living that, right? We love the Lord, we're serving the Lord, but that doesn't mean that we're always gonna be healthy or be have these things. Look at Lazarus. He loved the Lord loved him. And this is really where it hits home. And I want to start reading verse 30, and I'm going to read all the way down, and we're going to recap this entire thing and talk about that for one more picture that we're looking for. So, verse 30, now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Now, Martha talks to Jesus one-on-one first. Now Mary is going to, and we talked about last time that Mary's response was similar to Martha. They kind of said, Lord, if you were here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. Now, verse 32, then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. That's a verse there that tells you Jesus was also, he's also man, right? He's fleshly too. And said, where have ye laid him? Then they said unto him, Lord, come and see. And then it just says, Jesus wept. And we talked about that when we first got into this of Jesus weeping and the different possibilities of why he was weeping. He was troubled. Was he troubled that of their unbelief? I think so. I think, was he troubled that Lazarus passed away? Yes, I think so. But at the same time, I think the Lord, knowing about what's about to happen, he's weeping. And is he weeping because maybe this is what sin costs? And he realized it. He realized that this is why he came to die. You know, he's looking in the, after this chapter, this is it. Now the plot's thickening. And the plot's thickening is, as we'll read at the end, now they're plotting to kill Jesus and they're going to find a way to do it. And the time's coming. Verse 36, then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eye, here it is, the lack of faith. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Now, you know, you're thinking, the Lord's grace is sufficient for all of us, right? But you would think that these people seeing that would say, the response here is, I think the Lord can do anything. We're just going to trust the Lord. But instead is saying, now they're accusing. It's almost like an accusation. If the Lord can heal the blind, why couldn't he do this, right? It's almost like an accusation. And it's a spirit that you don't want. Lord, if you did this, why couldn't you do this? We don't know why the Lord doesn't do things and does do things. We don't. Part of faith is, but the last thing we need to do is always accuse him, right? You know who's the accuser of brethren? And this is where you'll find out is Satan. Satan always is be careful around people when they accuse other people, other Christians, other things. It's not a good place to be. You never want to have accusations against people. Whether or not you think you're justified, just let the Lord handle it. Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave and a stone lay upon it. He's going to the cave. There's a stone. What is that kind of similar to, right? Yep. Right? A tomb. Yep. A tomb similar to the one we'll see later on in John. Now, another thing I want to bring up is that Jesus is groaning in himself again, and he's seeing the skepticism. This is man's heart. This is the heart of man is looking at this response. And another important point here, people that think that if they saw miracles, that they would trust the Lord and they would become a Christian, that verse that we just read is proof that they wouldn't. Because what is in the heart of man? They always want more and more. Without the Holy Spirit to temper that into saying, my grace is sufficient for thee, right? Lord, you and are alone enough. Miracles don't help, right? See, the thing is he used those miracles to show that he was the Son of God. But that's not leading them, that they would believe on him of who he is. But again, we read, people want physical sustenance. They just want the problem fixed. We just want Lazarus alive. You could heal the blind, but you can't raise him up, right? So that's the heart of man. Jesus said, take you away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. That is about as dead as you can get. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Now, Pastor John read this verse in talking about a sermon he did about the glory of God. I read this again, and the whole idea is that this, the purpose here is that the Lord is, his mission is to give glory to the Father, but he's giving glory to God, and it's all working together. This is the purpose. Then, verse 41, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. It's one of those prayers. Read it again. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. So he's not just worried, he's not concerned about Lazarus alone, about Mary, about Martha, about the people here. He's saying, what is his mission has always been, I want you to come to believe of who I am and who I say I am. Verse 43, and when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. That word bound is extremely important. Jesus saith unto him, loose him and let him go. Then many of that's the word of the Lord, right? Then many of the Jews which came to Mary had said, seen these things, which Jesus did, believed on him. They believed on him. Now, the question is, would they have believed on him if he came when Lazarus was sick and healed him? Yeah, maybe some would believe. But think about why. I want you to just ponder this as we get to the end of the chapter. I want you to ponder why he delayed in healing Lazarus and allowing Lazarus to die. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Ooh, now this is an important thing. Wait a minute. Now, up to this point, what has happened? He's healed the blind, the lame, but Lazarus, this is an entirely different miracle ball game, as you will. He raised somebody from the dead. Wait a minute. What? Now, if I'm a religious leader and I'm Caiaphas, the high priest, and I'm all these people, how do you deal with that news? Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, "What do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and our nation." They want to put this to bed because they're going to lose their power. The people are going to turn to the Lord. I mean, who are you going to trust? Somebody that can raise somebody from the dead? I mean, that's a miracle. That's one of the greatest miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him. We don't want that happening, right? Verse 49. And one of them named Caiaphas, being the high priest, that same year said unto them, "Ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it's expedient." It's necessary. We need to move quick for us. "That one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. And this spake he not of himself, but being a high priest, that year he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation. And not for that nation only, but also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad." I'm telling you, when there's truth to be had, when there's truth there, even the enemies are scared. "Then from the day forth they took counsel together for to put him to death." This is where they start plotting. Here's how we're going to try to kill Jesus. "Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but then unto a country near to the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. And the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand, and many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then sought they for Jesus and spake among themselves, as they stood in the temple, What think ye that he will not come to the feast?" Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment that if any man knew where he were, he should show it, that they might take him. So now there's all this hunting for him, and this is where we get into this. Heavenly Father, bless this just short amount of time together. I forgot to pray, Lord, but I just want to make sure that we just are in the Spirit, Lord, and that we edify the brethren. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, here's a couple key things that we want to look at Lazarus real quick. Thank you for bearing with me. Verse 44, let's read this. "And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, Loose him and let him go." Notice it says bound hand and foot. He didn't walk out. He was bound. Take that note. He didn't crawl out. He was bound. The Lord raised him, but he couldn't walk out on his own. Okay, keep that note. He's just standing there bound and tied, but how did he get out? The power of the word of the Lord. Wait a minute. Where do we see that somewhere else? Hold your place there. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says this. 1 Thessalonians, let's turn there. Chapter 4. Now, if you just know this is the resurrection, this is the rapture. Verse 13. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." What did the Lord consider Lazarus? That he was sleeping. But what did he equate the sleep with? He was dead. "Lord, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning that which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope." This is our hope. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus," meaning what? Those that have died in faith, they're in Jesus, "will God bring with him." This is the hope. This is one of the reasons why I think the Lord was so overwhelmed with grief and weeping, is because what he's about to do is a terrible event, but it's a glorious event. It's our hope. See, we don't, when we're flesh, when we're in the flesh, we don't look at death as a good thing. And of course, we're here now, we got all these things, but this is the Lord, this is great news, this is good news, this is the hope of the believer. Verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, Lazarus, come forth. That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. What did the Lord do? With a loud cry. He cried, Lazarus, come forth. One day, what is he going to do? I don't know what he's going to say. He's just going to say what? Right? Come forth. The dead in Christ shall rise again. Did Martha get it right? Yes. But what is he pointing towards? He's saying, I'm the one that's doing it. Wait. Yeah. You're looking for the resurrection, but why don't you start looking for me first? Me. Just focus on me. I am the resurrection. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that ye which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend. Without the Lord descending to gather us home, it's only by, I cannot get into heaven without the Lord. In fact, the Lord, when people were caught away, Enoch, right? Who was the other one that didn't die? Elijah, right? They were taken up with the Lord, but they weren't taken up on their own merit. How did they get there? By God, by the work of God. Jesus Christ. Now watch. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise again. Then which we are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We forget the very last verse of this chapter. Wherefore, because of all of this, comfort one another with these words. The Lord doesn't say warn each other. He doesn't say this is something to grieve about. He says comfort one another with these words. So to the Lord, this is a comfort. And this is why he might be weeping. So turn back to John 11. Lazarus was asleep to the Lord, yet Lazarus was dead. Remember, I'll say it again. It's as easy for the Lord to raise someone from the dead as it is to awaken someone from a sound sleep. It's as easy for that to the Lord. In fact, in the twinkling of an eye, right? It's just like that. What's going to get the dead in Christ out of their graves? The Lord is going to what? It's going to be a shout. He's the one doing it. So what the Lord's doing here with Lazarus, he is both prophesying, he's both giving an illustration of what's to come. At the same time, it's one of those things what we would call a near and far prophecy. The near prophecy is that Christ is going to go to the cross and he's going to rise again. And he's going to rise again and sit at the right hand of the Father. That's the resurrection there. That's to defeat death and hell. He rises again. But again, there's going to be this resurrection. That's going to be what? We're going to have new bodies. We're going to have new bodies where our soul is saved. Our spirit is renewed with the Holy Spirit. The last thing is we're going to have these new bodies sinless. We're going to be like Christ, fully, complete, right? And we're striving to that now, and we're doing that now, and the church is growing, and we're telling people about Jesus. But this picture is both near and far. He's prophesying. It's a picture. And he's hoping that these people understand that. And again, they're just so concerned about Lazarus and weeping and that grief's overcome. The Lord's trying to point them in a different direction, saying, comfort one another with these words. The comfort's coming from me, right? So we have this resurrection, and we have this resurrection here and now. John 10:27, my sheep. Now, Lazarus, wait a minute. What's happening? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And here's the thing. He's calling Lazarus's name, right? So he knows the Lord's voice. It's a cool, things are happening here, right? Sheep do hear his voice. Lazarus is raised from the dead, but Hebrews 9:27, that all men, right, they're going to come to the judgment and die. Lazarus eventually does die again, right? See, that's what sin is that even though Lazarus was raised from the dead, remember Eutychus, he falls out the window, and Paul has the power through Christ, he raises him from the dead, but Eutychus ends up dying again, right? Paul was brought back. See, I don't want to make light. Peter had the power initially, right? Because God gave it to them, and I'm not making light of the resurrection. I'm saying there was a few resurrections in the Bible. But what has happened is there's these men eventually die again. But what's happening is this final resurrection, there's no more death. There's no more sorrow. There's none of that. It's this resurrection is complete. And that's what the Lord's talking about. And he's showing this. But now watch. Loose him and let him go. Right? Verse 45. Loose him and let him go. Lazarus is alive, but he is bound. He only came out by the power of Christ. When Jesus, we'll make the comparison. The grave clothes of Jesus, turn to John chapter 20, verse 6. John chapter 20, verse 6. Now we're going to look a little bit far removed at Jesus' resurrection. Lazarus has grave clothes on, and he's bound, but he is alive. Now watch. Peter therefore went forth and the other disciple and came to the sepulcher. So we have a tomb. We have grave clothes. We have a similar situation, right? We have a tomb. We're looking at Lazarus. Now we're fast forwarding. So they ran both together. Verse 4. And the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulcher. I love that they compared. I ran faster. And he stooping down and looking in saw, wait a minute, the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Wait a minute. Lazarus is wearing the grave clothes when the Lord raises him, right? But the linen clothes of Jesus are sitting in the tomb. Oh, that's interesting. Verse 6, then cometh Simon Peter following him and went into the sepulcher and seeth the linen clothes lie and the napkin that was about his head. Didn't Lazarus have a napkin about his head, right? Not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Lazarus, the method of burying here in these days was to wrap the body and separate cloth to wrap the head. Okay, that's how they did it. They buried them in cloth and they put them in a tomb, right? Lazarus came forth and answered the call of Jesus Christ and they had to loose him to let him go. Jesus was able to, what? The grave clothes were removed. Wait a minute. They were removed, they were folded, and they laid right aside in the tomb. What I'm saying is, this is why Jesus wept, I think. And I'm looking at it, and it's clear as day, is what he is so concerned about is that, guys, look. If there was anything more, now they should even believe more. Who came to the sepulcher again, right? The same people that were friends with Lazarus, right? The chapter that we're reading. They followed Jesus and they go and they look and now they see the grave clothes lying. Jesus is more than a man. Jesus is more than Lazarus. Lazarus could be a type of, he could be a picture of Jesus, but he's actually a picture of the failure of man. What is it? Yes, Lazarus raises from the dead, but Jesus defeats death. And it's only by the power of him that he can remove those grave clothes. And this is not an inference. Folks, this is in scripture. What I'm getting at here is this. It's almost like Jesus was able to rebuke the grave clothes. He's not bound. Lazarus was bound. He was bound by the grave clothes. He could not get himself out. Here comes even a cooler picture. We'll get there. Verse 45, let's read it together in John chapter 11, if you want to turn back. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. The heaven and earth were framed by the words of the Lord. Job says the world hangs upon nothing. The Lord spoke things into existence. That's the power of the words of the Lord. That same power is in the scripture, folks. These are his words if you truly believe them. Verse 45, if Jesus, just listen to this. just bear with me, follow along. If Jesus had come on Mary's timetable, remember when they asked him in the beginning, and healed Lazarus, remember, Lord, if you were here, he would have lived. If Jesus had come on Mary's timetable and healed Lazarus, it would have been a miracle, but not like this one. If Jesus had come with Lazarus' sister wanted him to come and kept their brother from dying, there would have been praise, and some people might have believed on him. But today in 2026, but today the world still talks about Jesus raising Lazarus after 4 days. And we still teach one another to believe and to be confident of life beyond the grave because he raised him from the dead. We have to learn if the Lord loves us and is wise, and if he doesn't answer the prayer I prayed right away or even at all, it's not because he doesn't love me. He loves Lazarus. He loved Mary. He loved Martha. It's because he has something better in mind that I don't even know to ask for. Let that settle in. It's a hard truth, but it's one of those very few truths that actually affect how we live for Christ in our prayer life. We may not see the answer as rapidly as we desire. For example, here's a cool little fact. 1600 BC, roughly around the time they think Job was written, oldest book in the Bible, scripture says in Job 19:23, that my words were now written, oh, that they were printed in a book, meaning I wish my words could be printed in a book, right? Right? I mean, you think about that. I've never seen that before. And I go, Job's, he's at a point in his life and he's like, man, if I could just have these words written in a book. And sure enough, you read that book. It's written. 3,000 years after Job's prayer, Gutenberg invents the printing press, and thousands of copies of Job's words were printed in a book. God answered Job's prayer in a way he couldn't even imagine. God's time and place of answering prayer is key. It's not always what we want to see, but it is by faith. Now, all of this, in conclusion, we look at all of, I have all these notes, but I want to get to the one final picture, the coolest picture. So if you're in John 11, he raises it from the dead, they start plotting with him. Now, Lazarus is raised from the dead. He's unbound. He's alive again. Chapter 12, verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper. They're sitting down for a meal. And Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with them. Now, Mephibosheth. A lot of people in the Bible, I probably pronounced it wrong. I always have to reiterate it 1,600 times. But in 2 Samuel, here, the Lord's Supper, sitting at the table, supping with the Lord, that's communion. It's representation. It's a picture of being, dwelling with the Lord, being with him, having a relationship. Lazarus goes from being, now just watch, Lazarus goes from being dead, bound, helpless, right? To sitting at the table with Jesus. Folks, there's three kinds of people in the Bible, okay? There's the natural man. That's the unsaved man. He doesn't know the things of God. He's not seeking God. There's the carnal man, which is saved, but he's living like he's not saved. The Lord was faithful to save him, but he has no desire to continue his walk with the Lord. Then there's the spiritual man. He's governed. He lives. He is walking with the Lord. He is governed by the Holy Spirit. He is surrendered to the Lord. Lazarus is a picture of our Christian walk. Think about it. The natural man, he is bound. He is dead in his, what does Ephesians call? We are dead in our trespasses and sins. He's helpless. We were in a helpless state. We could not save ourselves until what happened? The word of the Lord came. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It quickens you. It alives you. It makes you what? Born again. Right? So Lazarus is, now I'm going to use this term here. He's essentially alive again. I'm going to say alive again, right? Now he loves the Lord. He's alive again. He's got new life, but he is still bound. He's still helpless, useless to the Lord, right? He's bound. That's the carnal man. That's the man that heard the words of the Lord and is alive again, but you know what? He can't do anything about it. He's just kind of here. He's just bound. He's not like Christ who removed his grave clothes in victory. But then the grave clothes come off like Jesus's did. The spiritual man is the one. People follow Jesus' instructions. What did Jesus say to Lazarus? Lazarus, come forth, right? So he's listening to the Lord. He followed Jesus' instructions and helped and got help remove the grave clothes from Lazarus. What I'm saying is that we need to fellowship with the Lord. We need to be as obedient to the Lord, listen to the Lord. But before long, we go from what is the Christian walk? We go from dead in our sins to growing, to being governed by the Holy Spirit, growing in this process. And Lazarus is that picture. He's dead in a tomb to standing close to the Lord. And what is he doing in chapter 12? He is supping with the Lord. He is fellowshipping with the Lord. He's dining. He's at the Lord's table. And it's a beautiful, beautiful picture of this relationship of the Christian. But this is the progression of us as a Christian. And some of us, we see it out there as we're trying to tell people, come and see. What is the invitation that Jesus always says? Come and see, come to the table. It's always an invite. And we see this here. Finally, there's 9 people that fall at the feet of Jesus. It's Mary in John 11. It's the wise men, Matthew chapter 2. It's Jairus in Mark 5. Remember Jairus' daughter, she's sick. So that's in Mark chapter 5. Again, and then we have it, the unnamed woman in Mark 5 again, the Syrophoenician in Mark 7, Peter in Luke 5, a leper in Luke 5, the maniac at Gadara, and the Samaritan in Luke 17. All these people falling at the feet of Jesus is the proper way to approach the Lord. Forward, proper going to the Lord. There are men who pray for hours throughout the day, and here's just a little tidbit on prayer, and just bear with me. There are men who pray for hours or throughout a day, but there's no scripture on how long you are supposed to pray. Just praying to the Lord. What did the Lord say before he did this, right? He's praying to the, he lifted up his eyes, right? Prayer. There's a thing on prayer. There's so many topics in just this very chapter. How does the Lord pray to the, he just lifted up his eyes and he just, Lord, help me. Father, help me. You know, help me do this. But he did it for the glory of the Father. See, it's all for the glory of God. It's not just to raise Lazarus from the dead and to say, yay, my brother's alive again, right? That's great. But God is, he's thinking outside of all of what man is concerned about. And now that same miracle is being used that we can all reflect on it 2,000 plus years later. God's working. That's why we don't understand his way. So then when we have these struggles today, we don't understand them. But let's not focus on the Lazarus right now, the problem. Right? Let's focus on how the Lord's going to get glory. And I promise he just works it out. The door of the sheep. Shepherds in the Bible, here's just a tidbit here. Shepherds in the Bible time would gather sheep in a sheep coat and have no gate. Right? And we talked about the shepherd lying down. The Lord's always concerned about protecting us. He's always concerned about doors being opened. He's doors. The tomb had a door. Right? All these things are connected in this Bible, and it's weird. It's weird, but it's not a coincidence. It's the Lord. That tomb, he was raised out of that tomb, Lazarus, but Jesus walks on his own merit out of there. That's the Savior that we can trust. And finally, I want us to just be encouraged today. I know there's a lot of things going on, and I know it's cold, but remember that Jesus is always looking beyond the situation. And I think sometimes it's hard for us to look beyond the situation. The problem is in front of us. Lazarus is right here. He's dead. He's in front of us right now. What am I supposed to do? And God, I think the Lord's trying to get us to say, you know what? I don't understand what's going on right now, but we are going to pray to the Lord that I can look forward past this and just trust him and just leave it at his feet. And that's all I can do. And that's what I'm going to have to live with. And then just wait for the answer. And I hope that was encouraging to finish up that chapter, but it's a cool picture. And let's end in prayer.